Here in his fifth novel, The Kings and Queens of Rome, Daniel Wallace has returned to many of the concerns and techniques of Big Fish, his first and most widely admired novel. Wallace's fiction is never tied too tightly to reality, and here again in Rome, we are in the land of the tall tale, the fable, fantasy, and fairy tale, and not the tooth fairy kind, where there is no downside, just the delivery of a silver coin in the night, but the Grimm Brothers variety, laced with darkness, anxiety, bad behavior, guilt, envy, and pain. At the center are two sisters, Rachel and Helen McAllister, Rachel 18 and Helen 25, when the novel opens. They live without parents in Rome, a town founded, indeed created, by their great-grandfather, and located somewhere about 400 miles from Chicago, but really no place, as in Utopia. Rachel has been blind since a fever at age 3 and is cared for, in a way, by Helen. Helen is superlatively, transcendentally ugly and has been since infancy. Rachel is a luminous, extraordinary beauty. Helen gives in to one of the meanest impulses in contemporary fiction when she tells Rachel she is ugly. And it's a good thing she's blind, so she won't ever have to see herself in a mirror. She says, quote, at the place where they make faces, the face factory, these are the pieces they didn't use, and they gave them all to you, end quote. Helen also tries to make Rachel fearful and totally dependent on her by describing different sections of the town of Rome. There is the yacht house, scene of grisly deaths for anyone living there. The hanging tree, the boneyard, where all the town's dead were just thrown to rot, the poison fields, and, quote, the forest of the flesh-eating birds, end quote. Wallace supplies the story of the creation of the town of Rome, R-O-A-M. Implicit puns on Rome, Italy, abound. No roads lead there. It wasn't built in a day, but pretty fast, etc. Rome's founder is Elijah McAllister, an abandoned orphan who becomes a ship's cook, sails to Hainan, China, meets Ming Kai, a seller of silk cloths, knocks him on the head, kidnaps him and some caterpillars to America, and wanders until they find a grove of 100 mulberry trees, food for the silkworms. There they establish a silk manufacturing plant, and for a while Rome prospers wildly, but the worms die, quote, Rome was, and always had been, at the mercy of an insect, end quote. With the death of the worms, there will be decline and fall, of course, and Rome will become, in large part, a ghost town. Where there was such arrogance, such meanness, there must one day be a reckoning, even if it takes generations to arrive. The ill-treated Ming Kai had prophesied that generations to come would pay for McAllister's sins, and it is so. Wallace pushes his story to its fantastic end. There is a river of magic healing water, an ancient suspension bridge that must one day fail. Finally, everything seems controlled by fate. Any little event can change one's entire future. But the novel ends, as it must, with the question of forgiveness. Whether Rachel can forgive Helen remains to be seen, but as the ghost of her mother tells her, quote, the only real power any of us have is to forgive.